Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. We hope you enjoy today's message. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com.
Pray for us. Father, thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray the powerful and simple prayer. God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. May you move and open our ears and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Take away, my.
Check. Sibilance. Good. Well, it's an honor to be here tonight. I'm Michael Miller from the Upper Room in Denver. Moved out to Denver about 2 years ago with my bride and soon got a little arrow in the quiver right after that. So we've got one little boy named Archer, pun intended. And just having a really fun time getting to know you, the leaders here in this church. So you got any Aggies in the house? I know we got a couple of them. That's where I'm from, Texas originally, grew up in Dallas, went to Texas A&M. There you go. Thank you. You can keep doing that throughout the evening. I don't mind. It's been a long time since I've gotten to hear that, honestly. So I'm hopefully here as one of you guys, just to give you a little backdrop. I probably came from one of the most spiritually confusing backgrounds. I had a Jewish mother and a Mormon father, and so I'm a Mor-Jew, or a Jorman, or just a spiritual mutt, I guess you could say. So I became a Christian when I was about 15 years old, not really knowing what that meant. I knew that I needed something, and I was like, okay, I'll give Jesus a shot. And what really happened was when I was about 16, someone gave me a Bible. Now, I didn't know what a Bible was. Sincerely, I didn't go to church. I was, you know, I would say that from the age 8, I was an atheist. Like, I knew what that meant. And then someone gave me a Bible. I was 16 years old. I would take that thing and I would hide it in my desk because I was too scared for my family to find out that I had a Bible. I thought it was a book of, like, ancient spells. I'm serious. I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you the truth here. And it had, you know, it was one of those Bibles that had the New Testament and the Psalms and the Proverbs. So I would memorize the Psalms because I thought, man, if girls knew that I memorized this poetry, they might, you know, think I'm attractive. And then I would read the New Testament, and I started Matthew. And I got to be honest, I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know it was about Jesus. I had no idea what the New Testament had. But I really was drawn to it, and I would read it every night when my family went to bed. And I started reading specifically the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 through 7, and I fell in love with who Jesus was, and I knew that I just wanted to be like him. You know, little things like forgiving and loving your enemies, never heard that before. In my family, we were professionals at holding grudges, like really were. We knew how to get vengeance, and so here I'm like reading this totally different way of doing life, and I just wanted to be like him. It would be probably another, I guess, maybe 6 years before I would have any sort of experience with God that would sort of create another radical shift. How many of you rock climb in here? Anybody? Anybody know what lead climbing is? Okay, a couple climbers in here. Well, lead climbing is a bit different than rock climbing. When you lead climb, you climb up the wall and you're looking for a place to anchor in. And as soon as you can clip in, then from that point on, you can't fall past that point. And for me, that's how the Christian life has been. I've had these experiences of walking with Jesus, and these experiences are like this new level I've gotten to. And I don't mean level spiritually, like I'm attained something great, but I mean a place where I've clipped into him, and I can't go back from that anymore. And so I would tell you that from, you know, I became a believer, and I very quickly was taught that God was not doing miracles, that he wasn't speaking, that if you wanted to know God, you needed to read your Bible, and you needed to pray. You know, we had the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scriptures. And so here I am, a 22-year-old, and I'm honestly a little bored with my walk with Christ. I said it. Is that okay to acknowledge that? Anybody else ever felt bored before? But that doesn't make sense. Like, when you read the scriptures, do you see a bunch of apostles who look bored? No. So something, either something was wrong with the Bible or something was wrong with my Christianity. And I'd hate to say that something was wrong with the Bible. So as a 22-year-old, I would say that I was, and if you can relate to this, just throw a hand up in the air. I was what you would call an unbelieving believer. Yeah, okay, thank you. I'm not alone. All right, you are one among many then. I would say that I believed in Jesus. I believed that he died on a cross for my sins. I believed he rose from the dead to give me a new life. But my experience of that new life was I would say, sub what I read in the scriptures. It really was. And the big thing was, I just didn't want to believe something that wasn't true. I didn't want to be duped. Lord would begin to deal with my unbelief at around age 21, and I would have this encounter with the Holy Spirit that would radically shift my understanding of who God was. I remember I was just starting to believe that maybe God did speak outside of the Bible. Now that, in some circles, is heresy. I can't believe you think that. But I was starting to toy around. Maybe God would speak like he did to the apostles. Maybe there was a way of being led by him that was more like the mystics. You know what I'm talking about? And so I just started praying and asking God, like, you got to tell me if this stuff is real. I don't want to be duped. And then I was in a coffee shop, and I overheard this guy talking to another guy about prophecy. Now, I didn't know what he meant by prophecy, so I just casually walked over and I said, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt you, though I clearly meant to interrupt him. I don't know why we say stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like, excuse me, I'm going to interrupt you now, and that's a better intro. So I don't mean to interrupt you, but are you talking about prophecy? He's like, yeah, we're talking about prophecy. I go, well, what do you mean by prophecy? Is that like, you know, God telling the future and it being, you know, played out in the New Testament? Are you talking about like the gift of prophecy? He said, well, actually, we're talking about the gift of prophecy. I said, really? Could you tell me more about this? And you got to understand, I was green. I had no idea what that even meant. And these guys would later show me that when they talk about prophecy, what they mean is God speaking to me for other people. And tonight, that's really what I want to focus on. Because it's my belief, and again, God had to deal with my unbelief to get me here, but it's my belief that God really does speak to us. Not just to some special, you know, anointed people with microphones. He speaks to all of us. You know how I know that? John 10:27. My sheep know my voice. Now, how many of you in this room would say, I don't know that God speaks to me? Well, I'm here to tell you, either you're right or the scriptures are. My sheep know my voice. How many of you are believing, you're now in the fold, you're one of his sheep? Then whether you believe it or not, he does speak to you. And there's good news. He won't just speak to believers. He'll also speak to unbelieving believers. And he'll even speak to unbelievers. I mean, think about Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he had some crazy prophetic dreams where God would speak to him, not just about his own life, but about the next 500 years of that part of the world. An unbelieving pagan king, and God would speak to him too. You see, God's reign falls on both the righteous and the wicked. And I'm telling you, he's pouring out his goodness on all mankind. And really, I'm here to tell you that his voice is very much active today, just as it was back in the times of Abraham, back in the times of Moses, David, back in the time of the apostles. It hasn't changed. He's still speaking. So I need to back up here, because I was telling you about the coffee shop story. So I interrupt this guy. He says, you know, he's talking about the New Testament gift of prophecy, and I ask, can you please tell me more about this? So we agree to meet about 2 weeks later and have dinner. He invites me over with he and his family. He used to be on staff with Navigators. Now, how many of you know what Navigators is? See, I love that organization. I did their topical memory system with my Young Life leader when I was in high school. And I those scriptures I memorized when I was in high school, I still remember today. And now I'm doing that with others. And so knowing that he was from that organization actually helped me trust him a little bit more, because I was such a skeptic. Now, at this time, I had been sort of in and out of a relationship with this girl, and really she was just kind of stringing me along. And I remember in one particular evening when I was feeling rather sorry for myself, I was reading in the Old Testament about how it says that David ministered to the Lord. You know that passage? Well, I remember just in the midst of my wallowing in self-pity, I go, God, do I even minister to you? Do I even make you happy? And it was just sort of this haphazard, you know, pitiful question that I soon forgot about. Now, fast forward, I'm having dinner with this man and his wife, and they're feeding me, they're asking me questions about my life, which I got to tell you, if you're trying to introduce somebody to the gifts, take time to love them first. Just by asking questions and getting to know them, the gifts don't have to be this weird, crazy thing. You know, they can be quite normal. And I think that's why God gave us 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, you know that passage is not about a wedding. It's not about a wedding. I mean, it starts off, if I speak with the tongues of angels. Like, what? How does that relate to getting married? It's about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, about the heart behind using these gifts. The gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, healing, it's all about a way to love people with God's power. You ever wanted to you know, you hear somebody, they're going through some tough trial, and you just want to love them, and you want to change their situation, you want to change their circumstances, and you just feel powerless? That's why he gave us the gifts. So we could love them with his power, that he'll back it up. And this is the best part about it, is when we love people with God's power, they don't just know that we love them, they know that God does. And this world is desperately in need of the love of God. So we have a rather regular meal, and at the end of it, they'd say, we'd like to pray for you. And this is where it got weird. So the wife said, we start praying, and it was like no more than a second. She says, Michael, I just had this vision of you. And I'm thinking, oh no. A vision. Like, she's going to read my fortune. Right? That's what I'm thinking to myself. Like, and you got to realize, this is the skeptic part of me. Which, how many of you really win out by being skeptical? As if God is going to rebuke you at the end of your life and say, you know, you just had too much faith. You thought I was a little bit better than I really am. You know what I mean? Is he going to do that at the end of your life? So, the wife says, I had this vision of you. And she says, I saw you and you were wearing the robe of the high priest. But I don't know what it means. And I'm thinking to myself, lady, I don't know what it means either. Cuckoo. And then the husband goes, oh, I know what it means. And I'm going, of course you know what it means. Like, it's just getting weirder by the second. So he says, Michael, the high priest was the one who would go in and offer the sacrifice to God. He would minister to the Lord. Michael, God wants you to know that you minister to him. I was by myself when I prayed that prayer. And by that point, I'd actually forgotten that I even said those words. Do you think that person heard God for me? See, it just, the thing is, it didn't come the way we would expect. And like it or not, when it comes to prophecy or hearing God for others, it doesn't come in this nice, neat package that we all want it to come in. It actually is rather confusing. I mean, if you really want to get a glimpse at prophecy, go survey the Old Testament prophets. And you'll find some really strange things that they did. I mean, we've got one prophet who was told by God to lie naked on his side for I don't know how many years. I mean, this was like a public thing. This is a weird thing. I mean, there's any number of weird things, you know, like certain, well, I can't think of any examples off the top of my head. I should have prepared that better. Anyway, here's what I know. I left that time with that couple knowing that God had heard my prayer, even the one I had asked in the midst of wallowing in my own self-pity. Now, here's a question for you. How many of you think you might ask God more questions if you knew that he might actually answer those questions? Anybody? Any takers? Okay. Let me give you another story. I moved to Dallas right after college, and I start checking out these new churches. And Trust me, I had a very hard time going to a lot of the Pentecostal and charismatic. Even though I really believe they love the Lord, it was just the package I wasn't used to. Like what you saw tonight, this sort of dancing freaked me out. Like I don't like that stuff. You know, in my flesh, that's how I felt. It's taken me a while to just not only like get used to it, but embrace it and let it be a part of my life. I mean, you look at the life of the patriarchs, David danced naked before the Lord. And how many of us want to rebuke the ones who are up front and dancing like weirdos? Oh, I know what you do. I know. That's perfect. That was a great, like, comedic, you know, addition. I'm leaving my clothes on, though. This ain't that kind of church. You know what I'm saying? No, it's great. You're fine. But where was I? I don't know where I was. Oh, yeah. So I was checking out these new churches, and I saw on this marquee, this is really, you're going to laugh at this, but it said, prophecy every third Sunday of the month. And I'm going, oh, you can schedule this? I didn't know it worked that way. You know, like, and so I'm like, I'm going to get my appointment for prophecy. And so I walk into this room, and it was back when they used to, like, use cassette tapes, you know, the kind, I don't even have one of those things. Like, I've got this old cassette tape with a prophetic word on. I can't play anymore. But anyway, I previously to going into this, you know, scheduled prophecy, I had been praying this prayer in secret every day. And at the end of the month, after praying for the whole month, which isn't that long, but for me it was long, I'm impatient, I start saying to God, God, do you hear me? I've been praying this every day. Do you hear me? And I remember thinking to myself, it was like my prayers were just sort of hitting the ceiling and falling back down on the floor. Anybody ever felt that way before? Okay. The next thing I know, I'm with these people, and they're praying, and they're trying to hear God for me. And one of the guys starts off by saying, Michael, God knows this. And then he quotes the prayer that I had made in secret, word for word. Here's the weird part. He had no idea what he was doing. Like, he didn't know what that meant. He just felt like that's what God had said. And I'm doing everything I can because, like I said, I'm, you know, very unbelieving believer, a little bit more rigid and skeptical. And I'm just pretending like that didn't mean anything to me. And I'm giving him that, you know that face? That's the face I'm giving him. And inside, I'm breaking. Walls are coming down. How many of you would pray more if you knew that God heard your prayer? This is why it's so important to hear God for other people. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is going to tell us what the New Testament gift of prophecy is all about. And it's not what you think. Any of you ever met a prophet before? Anybody? How many of you, or at least you heard that this person was a prophet, and you're like, yeah, right. But then at the same time, you're kind of like, yeah, but if he is, you know what I mean? And you immediately start like walling up and getting scared. Anybody? Why do we get scared of the idea of meeting a prophet? Well, they're going to call out our sin and publicly shame us and embarrass us, right? That's what we think when we think of a prophet. Okay, well, that's not what Paul says prophecy is. It's not. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, for the one who prophesies speaks to men for their edification, that means to build up in faith, encouragement, and comfort. Notice in there it doesn't say, God speaks to people, or prophecy is to shame people, embarrass them, and call out their sins publicly. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, build their faith, encourage them, and comfort them. And that would make sense, because what's one of the names of the Holy Spirit? Comforter. So when you're receiving a prophetic word, here's how you can tell the difference between God speaking and some false spirit. How does it feel when you hear it? Do you feel like you just got set free from something? Like some weight that you've been holding on is all of a sudden taken off of you? Do you feel comforted? Do you feel peace come over you? Now don't get me wrong. Yeah, God will call out sin. And he may show me someone's sin, but you know why he shows it? Not to embarrass them or shame them or condemn them, but because there's power to set them free. Here's the thing about most believers. If they're in sin, it's not because they want to be. Most believers desperately want to be free from sin. And this is the good news about God, is that he came to set us free from that very thing. And so if a prophet gets that kind of thing, it's not to embarrass you. It's because there's power for freedom today. Oh, okay, I can get a little preachy here. I want to give you some practical tools. So here's, just to start with, who does God speak to? Well, I've already stated one of those people. Everybody. My sheep know my voice. And I'm going to tell you the type of person. Here's something I want you to get. Here's the type of people God wants to speak to. This is John 15:15. Jesus is going to say this to his disciples. He says, "No longer do I call you a slave." That's crazy. "For a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For everything I hear from my Father, I make known to you." Question for you guys. Who do you tell your secrets to? When you've got like some new news that you know you can't tell anybody about, but you still can't help but telling this one person, who is it? Your best friends. Do you think Jesus was any different? "Everything I hear from my Father, the secrets from heaven, I make known to you." And here's the good news about God, is he's got room in his heart for a lot of good friends. And I'll tell you, the limitation of your friendship with God isn't on God's end. You can be as close to him as you want to be. He's infinite. Infinite resources. Infinite time available. And here's the cool part, just a fruit of friendship with Jesus is that you hear his secrets. Because here's the best thing, like one of my best friends is in the room right now. Jeremy, stand up real quick. Everybody say hi to Jeremy Shuck. This is one of my... I've learned more about the prophetic from this guy than anybody. Don't, that's true. I'm not exaggerating. I used to just like follow him around like a puppy dog when I was wanting to learn about how God speaks. But one of the things I know about Jeremy is that if I tell him something that's really, you know, concerning me, if I tell him one of my secrets, I know that he'll keep it a secret. And I also know that if he doesn't keep it a secret, it's because he's actually thinking of me when he shares it. That's the thing about having a best friend, is you know that they'll take the information that you've given them and they'll use it wisely. And that's the thing about being with friends. And the other thing about being best friends with somebody is you pick up all their little idiosyncrasies. You know, you have the same jokes. And that can happen with God. You can actually have that kind of friendship with him, where it's like you start chuckling and you know that he's just chuckling right alongside you. Check this out. God had a hard time keeping a secret. Here's how I know this. In Genesis, I think it's 18, you see the scene play out where God has appeared to Abraham, and he's actually with a couple of angels, and they're walking down a road, and God is having this conversation with these angels, and he's saying, "Should I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" The fact that God would ask that question is just mind-blowing. Like, should I hide this secret? Should I keep this secret from Abraham? God had a hard time keeping a secret from, guess what Abraham's name was? The friend of God. James says that. I think it's James 2:23. We're told that Abraham was a friend of God. As a matter of fact, all the Old Testament prophets, they were called the friends of God. That's what I'm telling you. His secrets are available to those who want to be his friend. And again, friendship with God, you can have as much of it as you want. The limitations aren't on his side. Okay, tricky part is how does God speak? And this is where it gets difficult. So there was this argument taking place back at the time of Job, very similar to the argument taking place today. And it's this simple argument. It's, does God speak? Now, Job is wanting his day in court, and we all know why. We know Job's story. And so he's having this argument. He's like, I need to have a conversation with God. He needs to explain to me why he's making this happen in my life. And Job's friends are like, well, Job, that's ridiculous. God doesn't speak. Except for the youngest of Job's friends. He says this in Job 33:14. He says, for God indeed does speak. Hear one way, there another, though man may not perceive it. Did you catch that? You mean that God doesn't just speak one way? Now, how many of us, when we think about hearing God, we're going, okay, God, when are you going to speak? I'm waiting for some booming voice from heaven to come and speak to me. What does it say in Job? How does God speak? In a way that you might not realize it's him. We read in, I think it's both in Numbers and in Deuteronomy about Moses. It says, with all of the others, God speaks in mysteries and dark sayings or riddles. Not so with Moses. For him, he speaks openly, face to face, even as man speaks to man. Isn't that crazy? So with Moses, God spoke face to face, but with all the other prophets, it says he speaks in riddles or dark mysteries. Are we any better than those prophets at hearing God? Do you think it's going to be any different for us? No, it's something that's mysterious. And here's the best thing about it is, it's what is the old proverb? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, the glory of kings to search a matter out. And I'm telling you, if you're a believer today, you've just been inaugurated into his kingdom, and you're now one of his priests and one of his kings. And so these mysteries are for you. Now, I'm going to give you just a sort of small spattering of ways that God speaks, just because, and this is by no means a comprehensive list, but I want you to begin to pick up on how does God speak to you. And some of you, raise your hand if you don't know how God speaks to you. And it's okay, let's be honest about this. How many of us don't know how God speaks to us? Okay, good, thank you. Now, the primary way God's going to speak to us, as we know this already, is through the Scriptures. For all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You know, Joshua, do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be careful to do as written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Hear that topical memory system navigators thing coming out of my mouth? So Scriptures are the primary way that God's going to speak to us. And I'm also going to tell you, it's the most authoritative way that God is going to speak to us. Here's how I know this. When Paul was talking about the letters he wrote, he said this, let him who thinks he's spiritual, in other words, let him who thinks he's really prophetic, who thinks he really knows how to hear God, recognize that what I'm writing to you are the very words of God. You know how he treated prophecy? Let two or three prophets speak and let the others pass judgment. So with prophecy, there was judgment to be had. You were supposed to weigh those words. But with the Scriptures, let him who thinks he's spiritual recognize that the words I'm writing are the very words of God. One, you just take it. You accept it as authoritative. That's the Bible. The other, you weigh it and you judge it. So this is good news. If any of you receive a word from somebody else, you have permission. I'm giving you permission to weigh what they're telling you. You don't have to write off, accept it. Does that make sense? Weigh it. Pray about it. Mull over it. So a couple ways God speaks. Here one way, there another, right? One way God will speak is through something called a vision. Now, a vision is not like always this crazy thing. Oftentimes, it's just in your imagination. I don't read the Bible. And you realize that the Bible wasn't written for a Western, rationalistic, enlightened man. It was actually written for a Middle Eastern culture with a Middle Eastern worldview. And for them, God would speak in dreams. He would speak in visions, in your imagination. I mean, those things were tools for God to speak to mankind. So one of the primary ways he'll speak to us is in a vision, a way that's actually really easy to deny because we'll think very quickly, oh, that's just my imagination. I'll give you an example of this. I had a group of Young Life kids that I was mentoring, and we were practicing hearing God for one another. And one of the young guys says, you know, we're praying, and he says, I just had this vision, and it was a caterpillar coming out of a cocoon. He says, I'm not sure what it means. He's like, but I know that it's for that girl over there. And he points at this other girl. And he just said, I feel like God's saying that that's you, that caterpillar coming out of a cocoon, like a butterfly. Now, he has no idea what it means, but she starts crying. And she goes on to explain to us that when she was a little kid, she used to write poetry. And in these poems, she would talk about how when a person is on fire for God, it's as beautiful as a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. Isn't that crazy? See, the things that we've forgotten about, our history, God didn't forget. And actually, he'll use those things to let us know how much he cares about us. And sometimes he'll even do it in a way that just in our imagination and seems so easily dismissible. Another way God speaks is through dreams. Now you got to be careful with dreams and visions, because here there's different ways to take these things. Sometimes what you're seeing is very literal, and sometimes it's a mystery. It's meant to be interpreted. I'll give you an example. I had a dream. I was at my old church, where Jeremy and I actually were together, and we grew in these things. And that day, I was supposed to get up on the stage and call some people out and give them, you know, what I felt like God was sharing with me. And so I had this dream where on the left side of church, there was this woman, and she had this glass dome over her body, like this. I mean, just rigid. And she stood up, and I just saw this glass dome over her body, and then the dream ended. Well, the next morning, I get to church, and I'm having to ask this question, like, God, what is this dream all about? What does this mean? Is there somebody on the left-hand side of the church that's going to have a glass dome? No, that's not literal, right? So I get there that day, and I say, last night I had a dream, and there was a woman on the left side of the church, and you had this impediment where you couldn't move your arms freely. Either there was great pain or some sort of paralysis. I said, if there's a woman on the left side of the church like that, would you please just raise your hand? I didn't say I was good at this stuff. Sure enough, this lady stands up, and she did have some problems with her shoulders to where she couldn't lift up her arms freely. We prayed for her that day, and she was healed. Now, what would have happened if I just said, oh, that was the weird pizza I ate last night. I shouldn't order from that place again. You know what I'm saying? See, this is the thing. We dismiss a lot of these things as though that couldn't be God. Oftentimes, because we don't know what it means. So I'm going to give you some tools here. Three words that I want you guys to write down or remember. If you got your iPhone, get your little notepad out or whatever. Three words. First one is this. Revelation. When we pray and we ask God to speak to us, he speaks and he gives us a revelation. This simply answers the question, God, what are you saying? Problem with revelation is we're not going to know what it means. And so we need the second word, interpretation. Now this answers the question, what does it mean? Am I going too fast for you? Oh, good, they got up there. Revelation, what is God saying? Now, there's several different types of revelation: dreams, visions, impressions. Interpretation, what does it mean? The last one is application. And this answers the question, what do I do with it? Not everything that you hear from God is meant to be shared. Some people, you'll hear God and you're just meant to pray about that thing. That's it. And this is going to present a very tricky side of the prophetic, because it also means there's room for error. Sometimes you can have a really great revelation, have no interpretation, and have no idea what to do with it. Sometimes you'll get a revelation, you won't get an interpretation, but you will get an application. And sometimes God actually keeps the interpretation from you so as to not embarrass those who you might prophesy to. Sometimes he keeps secrets from you for your sake. I'll give you an example. Again, I was at a church, and I was praying for somebody in the room, and I looked at this man, and I just heard the word recover. It's just a word that popped off in my head, just easily dismissible. And I said, recover, recover. God, what are you trying to say? And I thought he was praying the words, will I recover? And so I'm asking God, okay, will I recover? What's he trying to recover? And it's like radio silence. I hear nothing from God. So here he's giving me a revelation. He's giving me no understanding of what it means, no interpretation. So I say, God, what do you want me to do with this? And then just a thought comes through my head. Not some booming voice from heaven. Michael, just tell him, yes, you will recover. I say, okay, God. So I get up and I point this man out and I introduce myself and I get his name and I say, sir, I felt like you had been praying these words, will I recover? And I felt like God wants you to know, yes, you will recover. I said, does that mean anything to you? And his jaw just drops. He says, yes, you just read my mail. I said, okay, well, come talk to me afterwards. I'd like to know what this means. Well, he comes up to me, and he says that morning he was getting his kids ready for church. And he just sort of haphazardly asked God, will I recover from my divorce? It's amazing because church already brings on so much shame for those who've been divorced. And so naturally, the one thing God wasn't going to do is publicly embarrass this guy. And at the time, I was this immature, prophetic person that probably would have shamed him on accident. So I didn't know any better. I was new to this stuff. You ever wonder why it's sometimes God doesn't speak to us? It's actually for our sakes. Sometimes he keeps things from us for us. That was a weird statement. These words, when you begin to practice, and it is okay to practice hearing God. You know how I know that? The scriptures show us. Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature man. Now this is funny because how many of you really want the solid food, right? We all talk about this in church. Well, I want the meat, right? I don't want the milk. I want the meat. Here's what he says about this. Solid food is for the mature man who through practice has trained his senses to discern good and evil. You think you might want to reconsider getting the solid food? How many of us have practiced training our senses to discern? And it really does take practice. You will grow in your gifts. I think this is why Paul told Timothy, Timothy, stoke into a great fire the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Which means Timothy was given a gift when Paul laid his hands on him. He was given a gift of the Holy Spirit. And now Paul is encouraging Timothy. Timothy, you remember that gift? You remember when I laid my hands on you? And you were imparted that gift? I want you to cause that gift to grow. How do you get a gift to grow? Through use. That's the best way to grow in a gift, is to use it. I mean, how many of you people, it's funny because I think you people, how many of us people? I think it's funny because we tend to treat certain gifts different than others. Like, for instance, we treat the gift of teaching very different than the gift of prophecy. We think, you know, we don't mind a person growing in a gift of teaching. But if someone, but growing in a gift of prophecy, well, you either have it or you don't, brother. You know, did you get the call of God to be a prophet? I mean, that's how we treat that. But that's not scriptural. You grow in gifts. You stoke them into a fire through use. Here's the other thing about prophecy I should warn you about. It's actually possible to despise it. It really is. Paul had to give another encouragement. I think it was to the Thessalonians. He said, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do you know how you quench the Holy Spirit? The verse right after. Do not despise prophecy. A lot of us have some misgivings with this word prophecy because we've either seen it used in an abusive way or just in a misuse of a prophecy. And the tendency is to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because you've experienced something bad, we think, well, there's no good that comes from it. And I'm here to tell you, yes, gifts can be abused and they can be misused unknowingly. But there's a great productivity that comes from the use of gifts. Think of that proverb. It says, where there are oxen threshing, a bunch of oxen working, there's a mess to clean up. But much produce comes from the oxen. And prophecy is no different. You start embracing hearing God for others, you're going to make some messes that you are going to have to clean up. And your pastors may have to rebuke you and make you clean those messes up. And that's the beauty, is we submit our gifts to the leaders. We use them as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This is 1 Peter. As each one of you has been given a special gift, employ it in use to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's the best part about these things, is they're not meant for us. They're meant to be given away. 1 Corinthians 14, I think 26, he says, so that when you assemble together, one has a psalm, one has a teaching, one has a tongue, one has interpretation, one has a revelation. Let all things be done for the edification of the body. That means to build up in faith. So, gifts. It means when you show up to church, you all come with something to give away. And here, I got good news for you. There's no such thing as a giftless believer. You've all been given gifts. And some of the greatest joy you'll have in the Christian life is discovering that gift and beginning to use it. And I think this is probably... Let me ask you a question here. I think I'm running a little bit late, so this will be my last point. What do you think the most common gift in the church is? Raise your hands when I name these different gifts. Raise your hand if you think the most common gift in the church is miracle working. Okay, no hands on that one. Raise your hand if you say the most common gift in the church is speaking in tongues. Like a couple, one on that one. Yeah, I can always tell which kind of church I'm in by how people answer this question. Okay. Raise your hand if you say the most common gift in the church is prophecy. A few hands on that one. A few more. Raise your hand if you think the most common gift in the church is teaching. Oh, wow. Look at that. Okay, let's talk about the scriptures here. You know what it says in James? Let not many of you become teachers. Wait a minute, hold on. I just asked you guys this question, and like, I'll be like, oh, yeah, teacher, that's it. That's it. Why is that? Somewhere along the way, we got the gifts backwards. Do you know what's supposed to be the most common gift in the church? Here's how I know this. Three times in the book of Corinthians, Paul is going to say these words, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Now, some of you have not honored that commandment. Desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Now, two out of those three times, he's going to say these words, especially that you may teach. Does he say that? Especially that you may prophesy. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many people would tell you that the evidence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the gift of tongues. No, that's not what it says. Not that that isn't a very numerous gift and we should all go after it. But he says, in that day I'll pour forth my spirit. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my slaves, both men and women, I'm going to pour forth my spirit. I was in a church in India, and I quoted that passage. And it was one of those churches where women had to sit on one side of the church and the men on another. And when they did the worship, women could sing, but they had to sit there in the audience with the microphone like this. And the men would be up on the stage. And here I said, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And it was like all of a sudden, they just felt liberated. Wait, we get this stuff too? We get to be a part of it? We have something to contribute? Like, yes! Nobody was left giftless. It's not just a ministry just for men, it's for women too. It's all-encompassing. He's putting it out on all flesh. Isn't that fun? This is going to make church fun. I'm telling you, it really will. It's going to make it really messy too. Pastors, I apologize. You are now the new janitorial staff of your church. Okay, we're going to do something right now. It's a little bit different. Oh, before I did, Steve, I just want to, this is your shindig here. Is there anything that I didn't answer that might be helpful for them? Okay. I want to ask you before we do what we're about to do that you'll do me one favor. Believe. Okay? You're not going to get rebuked for having faith. And it's okay. Here's good news for you. And this is a decision I made when I was about 25 after I saw my first miracle, and I'm going to hopefully tell you about that tomorrow. I made a decision that I would rather believe and be wrong and fooled and look foolish than not believe but miss out. I'd rather believe and get it wrong, believe and be fooled, than not believe and miss out. Because I want everything God has for me. I really do. And so I'm going to ask you now, just give yourself over. Just believe. Believe in God. Believe that he's good. Now, I've got some friends with me that are highly gifted in the prophetic. They've been practicing for years in this stuff. And so I've asked them to come and pray for you guys just so we can actually see what this looks like. Any teachers in the room? I got a couple. Yeah, but I don't mean like biblical. I'm just being teachers. Like literally, you teach in a public school or private school. Yeah, anybody? Okay. Thank you. I used to teach mathematics. So one of the best ways that you can teach people concepts, things that they're not used to, is you give them the information, you then demonstrate that information, and then you have them practice on their own. So we've now taught about this information. Now I want to see some demonstration so then you guys can will know what it looks like and you can go practice it. Okay? So I've got a team coming up here, guys. Do we have another microphone I can give these guys? Oh, you got one. Great. Now, I'm going to give you guys some boundaries here because you don't have to receive anything they say. You don't. You get to weigh it out. It says, let two or three prophets speak, let the others pass judgment. So when they speak something, one of the other things I've encouraged them to do is not start speaking in King James English. like God only speaks in King James or something. Like, it never makes sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, you hear this prophet, and he's like, well, thus saith the Lord. It's like, does he not speak in the common vernacular? He can't do that, huh? And the other thing is, they're all growing in the prophetic. Some more experienced than others, but I'll tell you that most of these guys here, they're far more gifted in the prophetic than I am. And those who can't, teach. I've got some stories, yeah. So they're going to give you guys words, but then I also want to ask and interview them on how they got these words. But I also want to ask you guys if the words have any meaning to you so that we know whether or not we're actually hearing from God. And the kind of stuff I've encouraged these guys to go for is stuff that there's no way they can know if it weren't God. Like stuff that can be confirmed or denied right then and there. And they're putting their reputations on the line by doing this. And this is the kind of faith that God honors. Whether they get it right or whether they get it wrong, you're going to see an increase in their gift just because they stepped out in faith. So here, I'm here to tell you, this is the good news. Growing in gifts is not about getting it right or wrong. It's about stepping out in faith. It really is. Okay, this is Jeremy Shuck. Go ahead.
Good evening. I love this church. Y'all are awesome. I think Michael got funnier in fatherhood.
More well, loved. He's known me since I was like 22, pimpled and, you know, not funny.
Okay, so I got a few things for this young lady over here in the light gray shirt. Yeah, that's you.
What's your name?
What's your name? Lisa. Okay, so when I looked at you, I got a little internal vision of the Little Mermaid, and I felt like the Lord had gifted you in a really incredible way, just like the Little Mermaid. Have you seen the movie? Okay, the Lord had gifted
you. It's her favorite
you.
Movie. Did y'all hear that?
It's your favorite movie? Favorite Disney movie.
Favorite
awesome.
Disney movie, okay.
So you know that she had an incredible gift that she traded for something else, and I felt like the Lord said tonight that you have gone through a great deliverance and he's restored your voice, and you can sing, sister. You're an incredible worshiper. And I also, does that minister to you at all? I also saw a brother in your life who happened to be going through a time of great confusion, but he has got insane kindness in his heart. And I saw a seed of love that was planted in his heart that cannot be dislodged. And the Lord will not let that seed move from its place until it takes root and grows. Does that help? I got some goosebumps going on. He just is confused in his identity, but he's going to come around.
Does this make sense to you?
Does that help?
Okay.
Woo, good. Shave
tell you what, hey, afterwards, I'm gonna. It's okay. I want Jeremy to pray with you. Okay. Okay. Normally, I'd take some time to ask about this, but we're gonna let her process. So.
I saw a man with dark hair take a hard fall on a snowboard and injure right above his shoulders. His a vertebrae is knocked out of place, and it causes a lot of pain in your neck. Who is that?
Now, either Jeremy's got it wrong or somebody's too scared.
Dark hair, happens. Snowboard tumble, a lot of pain in the lower neck.
Does that make sense
upper
to anybody?
Shoulders. That's okay. I'm totally fine being wrong. Okay, so one last thing. Last week I was in a car and I was riding with my buddy Isaac, and he got a text message from a friend asking him for a word of knowledge. He just really needed a word from the Lord, and so Isaac.
A word of knowledge just simply means like knowledge that you could not know without God.
Thank you,
teacher.
That.
Sorry. See, it's just common for him, but most of us are going, what does that mean? Word of knowledge, huh?
And so we're driving in a truck, and Isaac asked me, you know, if I get anything from the Lord for this guy. And I saw athlete's foot, and so I started to interpret it. I was like, this has got to have a spiritual meaning. But I mentioned it to Isaac, and he's like, dude, he's got a skin condition, and his feet are in terrible shape. And I was like, okay, so it doesn't need an interpretation. It's just a word for healing. And then he's like, can you ask the Lord for the root? And I kid you not, I heard the Lord say he has a yeast infection. And I was like, I am not going to tell a dude he has a yeast infection.
He's funnier than me.
Okay, so I...
He is.
Before I give this word knowledge, I start Googling, right? And so I'm like, can dudes have yeast? And it turns out that that is the cause of a lot of skin diseases, especially in the feet. And so it's a yeast imbalance. And so that came back to my mind tonight, and I felt like the Lord wanted to heal people of skin diseases, especially of the legs and feet. So that'll be considered a word of knowledge that we can lay hands on for people.
So here's how we'll pray for this. Is afterwards we're gonna have some people both on the left and the right side. A lot of the people with the yellow tags or yellow lanyard. Yeah, that's the word. Where was that word of knowledge? And they'll be there to pray for that. So if that's you, and you may want to come specifically to Jeremy as well, since he got that word. But.
Yeah. So we texted him. And he texted back the next day and said that all the skin rash was gone the next morning. This guy was healed by a text message.
This is Rick Fernicola. He's my good-looking Italian single friend.
Thanks for that. Wow, that's awesome.
That's shameless. So,
gosh, never gets old.
Yeah. Every city, I want to do that.
It's always fun following Jeremy, man. Oh man, it's just no pressure, right? Gosh, love you, dude. I got a word. Actually, what's your name?
Trevor.
Man, this is gonna seem so weird and out there, but I saw this.
Hold on a second. You notice how you already started off with this is gonna be so weird? Because that's how this stuff works. Yeah. It's always gonna feel that way. You're gonna immediately start questioning what you're getting for somebody. Sorry. Keep going.
That's okay. Thank you. Trevor, I saw this picture. I just looked at you earlier, and I saw a picture of a banana, and the banana was getting, like, peeled back. It was peeling a banana, and I felt like when I asked the Lord, I was like, God, what is this? And I still don't fully know, so I'm just going to go with it, and we'll see what happens. But I felt like it's actually been a season of God, like, kind of peeling things back and, like, almost like a difficult season. Like, it's been kind of tough. Like, things are kind of feeling like they're getting ripped away. But I feel like what's actually happening is God just peeling away these things so that what's left is going to be something that's just brand new and usable. And I feel like God's actually going to be using you in new ways. I feel like you've actually been asking him to use you in some new ways. And what's left is like a totally new fruit. Obviously, a banana is pretty useless with the skin on. And I'm not saying you were useless before, so please don't misunderstand this. But it's something completely new. And I feel like... It's going to be this new season of using you in these new and greater ways, and I feel like you've really been asking God for that recently. So I don't know if that resonates with you at all. But
inwardly, you're like, oh!
And I eat a lot of bananas.
That is how the Lord will work, though. Is he'll use imagery that others can relate to, like you know the Little Mermaid that he used for her happened to be her favorite Disney movie. Like, he does that because he knows our histories.
Yeah, man, and I just felt like, I just felt him saying, like, you're just his favorite, man. Like, and I just heard that, and so I just feel like the love of the Father for you, man. Like, he just loves you so much, and what he's going to use you in, I think, is well beyond even what you can even comprehend and realize. And, man, I'd love to pray for you later, so just come talk to here, Justin.
Not only does he lead worship, he prophesies.
Right when we were about to start worship earlier, I had a sense that somebody, I think in this area, you've been having a lower back pain. It almost feels like you have some a disc that's slipped, and it's actually your left leg is shorter than your other leg, and you don't know that. I don't feel like you've had a diagnosis. You just feel like a pinch or something in your lower back.
Does that make sense? Somebody over in this area? Okay, right there. Okay. Okay, great. Well, not great, but afterwards, send in a prayer. I'm on tonight.
Yeah, we'll check your leg up here when we're done, okay? That'd be really good.
Gosh, just like Ricky let out, he's going to say, this is going to be really weird. No, I definitely questioned this, but I could not say this, but because it was so, God kept impressing this on me so hard, but I just felt like there's somebody in here with a toothache, and I'm just going to share it all. I don't even know if this is the proper nomenclature or not, because I'm not a dentist, but I just heard G3, and I don't know if that's, you know, symbolic of this conference, but the G3 tooth in your mouth. Is anybody a dentist? Is that even? But anyway, I feel like your name is Emily. Is your name Emily? No?
He's a dentist, is that?
Oh. What was that?
I'm just going to repeat this so that everybody else, because a lot of people probably can't hear you, but he was saying that he just recently went to the dentist, and it was the third tooth that you actually, they're saying it has to get replaced. So let's pray and just ask God to do a miracle so that you don't have to do that. Okay?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We're never going to miss out by stepping out in faith. I'd rather just do it and see what happens, you know? So, great job, Brian.
Yeah. And the other one was, is there somebody here named Emily? Is there an Emily? No? Okay.
Good. Swing for the fence. All right. No, I'm glad.
You should have spoke up, Emily. Big mistake.
Don't. That is not the Lord. That's not Jesus. Zach, you were going to have words later.
I'm just kidding. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Hey, what's your name right here in the black sweater right there? You, sir. Yes.
Sam.
Awesome. So I saw a picture, and I think it's a metaphor, but it might actually end up being just a straight up picture. But bro, I just saw you in a garage, like looking at this motorcycle, a really beautiful motorcycle, and I feel like in your life, you've experienced a lot of freedom financially. I feel like you started and ran with a lot of things and kind of had freedom to do with them what you want. And I feel like you've kind of stepped into a season where you're doing more maybe administrative or just kind of like you're kind of just tinkering now. And I feel like God's saying he's going to take you back on the open road again. And I feel like there's just a lot more, bro. Like your story, is, honestly, it's like, you're on chapter one, and you're just about to start chapter two. Not that you haven't done a lot, but I just feel like he's got a lot left to do with you.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
In many ways. Does the picture of the motorcycle in particular, does that mean something?
Not
yeah.
Directly.
That's okay. I want you to give honest feedback. We don't want to pretend. Great.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was more like just a metaphor of a vehicle, you know, like he's going to keep going with you, so. I hope that made sense. I'd love to pray for you more later as well.
You guys got any more? You got one more?
I have one more, yeah.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. And what's your name right here, bro? Yes.
Moses.
Bro, great name. Cool, Moses. Well, I just looked over, man, and I just saw the word craftsman above your head. I feel like you were just born to create things, and I feel like he's going to use you in some really creative and intimate ways. And even, like, I feel like you have this attention to detail that most people really strive for, but I feel like it comes natural to you. And, bro, I just see you in a workshop just spending time with him and just making, like, all sorts of beautiful things. And I don't know if that speaks to you, but I think he's just really after your heart, bro. And he's just got a real intimacy relationally that he wants to just know you more and deeper. And he just wants to be friends, bro. So
I wonder if you guys sense. Getting something from Moses as well?
Really good, bro.
It's a bad pun, Jeremy.
I got something maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't
Swing for the fence.
I'm swinging. I don't know if, yeah. So actually, when Zachy was just talking, I saw, you know, like the, what's that? Is he like Frogger? Is that what that is? Are you like trying to smack the whack-a-mole? Is that what it is? Oh, that's what it is. Frogger's the one you're running across the street, right? Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a game guy. The whack-a-mole. So I saw you like the whack-a-mole game. And I just, I was just kind of like, what the heck is that? I don't know what that means. And as soon as Michael's like, hey, have you guys get you guys something for Moses? I was kind of like, hey, that's for Moses. I was like, oh, I'll just say it. But I feel like you've been like swinging and, I don't know if this sounds wrong, like swinging and missing. Like you've been looking for opportunities and it's kind of like, that one's not it. That one's not it. That one's not it. But I feel like you're going to about to swing and hit something that's actually going to connect. And I feel like it's going to connect in a big way, something that you've really been praying about. But all like the swings and the misses are just setting you up for actually this thing that you're going to connect with. So I don't know if that makes sense at all.
Is that a bit too personal to share why that would make sense, or is that something you could share about? So I see a lot of other people who know you nodding their heads when he was saying that. So. You're waiting for something to connect, though. So he's saying he's been traveling to different churches, trying to get connected, and he's just sort of waiting for the right church to connect. Does that make sense? That's awesome. Great.
I had one more super quick thing for the guy right here in the green. What's your name? Yeah. Dan? Dan, good to meet you. Just super short, but I just felt like the Lord, every time I kept looking at you, I just kept hearing engineer, and what I felt like the Lord was saying was that you're engineering things for other people's lives. I actually see a picture of you sitting with people, almost like you're like a life planner, so to speak. And I feel like what the Lord's saying is you actually bring a lot of clarity to people's lives. I don't know what if you do something related to this for full time or whatnot, but I just see you sitting with people, almost like he's, like I said, I keep hearing this word engineering. But I feel like you're sitting with people and you're turning these pages in this book and you're bringing a lot of clarity to people, whether it's in the area of finances. I feel like it's a lot of different areas, and it probably has nothing to do with what you do full time, because I think it's something you do naturally with people. So,
does that make sense to you, Dan? He's holding it. He says he's a father to a lot of younger people. So that does make a lot of sense. Great. Sometimes you'll notice that with some of these words, it may, for the person on the outside, it may seem vague, but for the person receiving it, it's actually usually very specific to them. And you see that time and time again, and it's because God's not speaking in your language, he's speaking in theirs. And then other times you'll see like, wow, that's amazing, I can't believe they got that. And just hearing what took place with them makes you go, I want to experience that too. And that actually opens the door for God to begin to speak to far more people. So I give these guys a round of applause. Thank you guys for doing this. I have one too. Ricky, let me see that microphone. Isabel, you come here real quick. So I was trying to get Isabella to do this with us, but she had something else this morning from God, and that's what this is. And would you just take a second to explain what that is?
So me and my wife are praying this morning.
Okay.
We're a team, okay?
He does the speaking, you do the painting.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So we were praying this morning, and God, you know, was downloading on her what she should paint for somebody in the room tonight. And what she was seeing in her vision was somebody that was changing a lot of light bulbs this week, and they kept on trying to change the light bulb to make it brighter and make it brighter, but it wasn't bright enough. And that in front of this lamp was a window, and out of that to the side was a window, and in that window was the bright light of Jesus shining through in his kingdom. And that person, all they had to do was open that window to have that light come in, because the bulb that they were trying to do represented, to me, as I interpreted this, that person doing their own thing in their own will, not in their own strength, not in God's strength. And that this actually is what they need to do is just look up and look at Jesus and let their, that light of Jesus shine through them to shine onto the world. And that person's been struggling with that, and all they need to do is open that window. And,
let me, I'm going to put a little bit of a spin on this. So what we're seeing, because it sounds like, you know, the striving, well, that's kind of a bad thing. But that's not what the emphasis here is. It's not about condemning for something. It's about the invitation that's available to you.
Exactly.
There's a stepping away. He's saying, I've got an easier way for you if you'd like it. And it's just letting him do the work for you.
Yes.
You know, that one of the hardest things I think in the faith to do is to cease from striving. You know, it says we labor to enter into his rest. How many of us try to make it happen on our own? And really, we just need to take our hands off of it.
Yeah. Rest in his understanding, not in ours. Yeah. That's the word I got for that.
So the one quick thing that I want to add, what I felt that God was telling me, is that that light that comes through the window represents the kingdom of God. And so this person has been struggling in so many different areas, trying to figure it out. There's like, what do I need to do? Where's the will of God? Where do I need to go? Trying to bring in light by their own strength, where God wants them to know, just search my kingdom first, and that light will come in and permeate everything, and then you will have clarity.
And
so we wanted to do this. So if you, I don't know who you are, you feel that this painting is for you, please come forward. We would love to pray with you and to have you take this as a gift, so you can remember how amazing God is.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Didn't we have a psalm for that?
Yeah, I'll give it to
you. Okay.
All right. So if that's you guys, come on. If anybody, just come on up afterwards, and we'll pray with you.
Thank you, guys. So good. Good. I want to move into some ministry time here, and I'm going to give you some direction for this, because we've listed off a couple of things that need to be healed. So if you relate to one of those conditions, you're not going to lose anything by coming up for prayer. You know what I mean? There's nothing costing. It's just free. He's giving it to you freely. Second thing is, if you're looking for direction, and you actually need to hear from God, and oftentimes I find that it's not so much that we need to know what to do, we just need to know that he knows. And when we know that he knows, there's just peace. It's like, I'll do anything. But here's the good news. These guys who've been up here, and several others who have the yellow tags, if you're looking for direction, you don't have to tell them a thing. Just come up and say, I'd like you to pray for me, or I'm looking for direction. And then let them pray and see what they hear from God. You'd be surprised at what happens when we just say, okay, I'm just going to trust that God's going to speak to me through them. And if what they hear from God is actually not what you came up for direction for, then tell them and receive prayer again. Does that work? All right. Also, one last thing. It says three times in the scriptures, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Two of those times, especially prophecy. Something else I want you to do. If this is a gift that you have been hungering for, come and pray for them to lay hands on you and ask God to impart that gift to you. On two different occasions, Paul would tell Timothy about a gift that he was imparted. He says in the first one, 1 Timothy 4:14, Timothy, don't neglect the gift of God which was given to you when the elders laid their hands upon you and spoke prophetically over you. And then in 2 Timothy 1:6, we talked about this verse earlier, he says, Timothy, stoke into a great flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Two different gifts that Timothy was given at two different times that Paul specifies. And when Paul spoke to the Romans, he also said this. He says, I long to see you guys that I might impart some spiritual gift. That's something that happens, is just when someone lays their hands on you and prays for you, impartation of gifts takes place. So if you're hungry and you really are laboring after that gift, I encourage you to come up and receive prayer for that as well. Does that sound good? Okay. I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss, and then we'll let some ministry time happen. If those of you with the lanyards, if you'll go and make yourself available, we've got a lot of you, so over there, along here, over there, that'd be great. Sound good? All right. Everybody just close your eyes and put out your hands like you're just going to receive something from God. Jesus, thank you that you said, my sheep know my voice.
Father, would you pour out a spirit of wisdom and revelation over this entire group tonight. Let this weekend be a weekend to really receive everything you have for us. I mean, me included, God. I've never gotten enough. I've never attained. I've never arrived. There's still more that I'm hungering for. And would you bless each one of us this weekend? Let us receive something new and wonderful and great from you. Would you increase our faith? Would you give us some demonstrative signs and wonders so that we just know that you know? Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.